Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see what you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe. Discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, so it's time to get your grilling on. Pick up the Traeger Pro Series 22 Pellet Grill and Smoker, now on special buy for $389, was $549. Smoke a rack of ribs or bake an apple pie, this grill is versatile enough to do it all. This summer, no matter how you like your steaks, your barbecues are guaranteed to be well done. Celebrate 4th of July with fast free delivery on select grills right now at the Home Depot, subject to availability.
Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
I am your co-host, Austin.
And today, we've got a wild one for you.
A wild thing.
I mean, aren't they always wild?
Yep.
So, before we get into today's case, I want to talk about a story that caught my eye this morning. It has nothing to do with the case we're talking about today. It was just something I saw, and I just wanted to talk about it.
Let's hear it.
So, I know we have a lot of parents that listen to our show, specifically moms. So, I know this will particularly resonate with you. But I came across this story about a little 7-year-old girl in Michigan named Journey Hoffmeyer, who came home from school with one side of her hair completely cut off. This girl, who is biracial, had beautiful, like, honey blonde curls with these, like, natural low lights. I mean, people pay big money for this type of color and curl. Her hair was stunning. I'll even put a picture of it on Instagram if you want to see it. But anyway, she comes home from school and one side of it is completely gone, cut like an inch from her scalp. So her dad asked her what happened, and Journey told him that another student cut her hair while they were on the bus. So he took her to a salon where they tried to fix her hair by giving her an asymmetrical cut. But the next day, when she came home from school, the long side was completely cut off as well.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
So this girl went from having these long, luscious locks to now having like 1 inch of hair all over her head. But this time she said that a teacher cut it for her. So at this point, Journey's crying because she's afraid she's going to get in trouble for cutting her hair. So the dad calls the school to get some answers. They won't answer him. They won't respond to him. They said somebody that he spoke with said that the principal would call him back after spring break. Finally, a superintendent offered to send Journey a personalized apology by mail, like super insincere.
Be great if it was the 60s.
Maybe. So finally, it comes out that when Journey went to school after getting her hair fixed at the salon, she asked a librarian to fix it for her. So the librarian cut it all off. And apparently this librarian was also a licensed cosmetologist. And Journey's teacher even knew about this plan to cut Journey's hair, but nobody ever thought to reach out to the parents and ask for permission. That is so out of line.
Well, how did you hear about this?
It was on my Yahoo homepage.
I'd be ticked.
I would be so pissed. So since the incident, the parents are pursuing legal action and have transferred Journey to a different school, one that she attended before the school district adjusted their boundary lines. But man, that, I mean, if Kennedy came home with her hair cut so short, I would be just absolutely livid.
Mm-hmm. For yeah. real. That's so interesting.
Anyway, it was just one of those cases where I was like, man, people just don't think. Nobody was thinking. Lights were on, but nobody was home.
I was just going to say that.
Really?
Yeah, lights are on, but nobody's home. Pink?
Okay, so anyway, without further ado, we'll get into today's actual story, which is about Valerie McDaniel and Leon Jacob. And if you hear a little breathing in the background, that would be our dog, Hank.
Run it.
He's a sweetheart. Anyway, okay, so Valerie McDaniel, we're going to start with her. She was a native to Houston, Texas. That is where she grew up. I think I read that her dad was a counselor, and they were like a very well-to-do family. She went to the University of St. Thomas and studied veterinary medicine at Texas A&M, where she graduated in 1997.
Smart girl.
Same year, she married her husband. His name was Marion Mac McDaniel. And she kept these audio diaries on her iPad, and she described in an audio diary their perfect fairy tale wedding, how they moved into a house that Valerie's parents bought them as a gift. And Valerie, she made a ton of these recordings. There's tons of them. You can find her just talking to a camera or a recorder about her life. And this will come back into play later. But in 2000, she and her husband opened the Montrose Veterinary Clinic. Mac, her husband, was the office manager, and Valerie was the vet. And the clinic really thrived and was super successful. So successful that they bought this beautiful home in River Oaks, which is a super affluent area in Houston. They also had a $700,000 beach home that she frequently hosted her friends at. And she loved to cook, loved to read and entertain. There's lots of videos of them boating at this beach house and just having a good time. She seemed like she was just very lighthearted, a joy to be around, really loved her friends. Like,
sounds like they had, I mean, no financial stress.
No.
Had it pretty good.
Yeah. They were very successful. In 2008, Valerie and her husband, Mac, adopted a daughter since Valerie couldn't have kids. And it really seemed like her life was just going perfectly according to the plan. That is, until she got a phone call from a woman she didn't know claiming that Mac was having affairs with multiple women. So in one of her many audio diaries, she said that this person who called her gave her lists of women that he had slept with. So she confronted him. She ultimately forgave him. But then he was
forgave him, like, so it did happen?
Yes. And nice. Then he was caught cheating again. So in December of 2014, Valerie filed for divorce after 17 years of marriage. Her friend said that she was completely devastated and just miserable. All it would take was a text or a phone call from her ex to send Valerie into tears. It broke her friend's hearts to see her in so much pain over her divorce. And the way that her ex would treat her, like, he would threaten to keep their daughter from her. And he would just say things that, like, he knew would hurt.
Pretty vicious.
Just hit her where it hurt. And then Leon Jacob came into her life. So Leon Jacob, the other person in this story, in 2005, Leon graduated from medical school on the Caribbean island of, I hope I say this right, Grenada. I'm one out of three.
It's all right. You got it. Good job, man.
After the La Jolla incident, I think I've...
Hey, I might be wrong. I think Grenada makes the most sense, though, and I don't really care if I'm wrong, so... Sounds good.
That's the kind of attitude I need. Anyway, afterwards, he had surgical training in a series of residency programs at various hospitals, but he never actually received a medical license, which we will get into in just a second. So Leon married his college sweetheart, Annie Jacob, and their relationship was full of drama. He described it as being like love, 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 hate, 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 love, 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 hate, hate, hate. So it was very tumultuous, but they did end up having two sons together. And then after 11 years of marriage, Annie Jacob filed for divorce in 2013. And Annie also pressed charges against him for aggravated stalking and intimidation. Court documents say he made numerous calls, sent texts, emails, threatening to inflict bodily harm. In fact, in one of them, he threatened, I heard the recording, in one of them he said he was threatening to harm her parents right in front of her and called her a bunch of names. I mean, it was vicious. But Jacob said it was blown way out of, or I'm sorry, Leon said it was blown way out of proportion. He said he just wanted to contact his sons, and he won't apologize for that. The only reason he ever called her multiple times was to talk to his sons.
Man.
So he's just completely, like, in denial. And he said it was never about Annie. It was only about his sons, and that Annie was trying to keep his boys away from him. But in a move that seemed to contrast his image as a doting father, he chose to move away from Annie and the boys and head to Pittsburgh for yet another residency. While he was working there, he met a woman named Megan Varikas, and she was a general manager at the hotel where he was staying. Their relationship blossomed really quickly, and before long, they moved to Houston together so that he could start yet another residency there. This would be his seventh residency.
Define residency for me.
Residency is like the training you go through after you've graduated from college, but you have to go through residency before you can become like an actual doctor.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So it was reported that the reason he got removed from these multiple residencies was because he had a terrible attitude. He acted very cocky, very arrogant, like he was the smartest one there. He disrespected his colleagues and teachers and even put patients at risk. He was even known to be rude to patients. One hospital claimed that he would actually be a liability to keep around. But of course, he denies this, claiming that he was only ever transferred because he moved out of state each time. So he has, like, no accountability whatsoever.
Sounds like almost like a person who faked their college and their skipping. I don't know.
It's like Catch Me If You Can,
yeah.
That movie.
Like, there's a reason you're not finishing each one, because there's something more.
Right, but rather than, like, look into yourself and figure out what the common denominator is, which is you, mm-hmm. You just blame everyone else for your problems.
Yeah, weird.
So anyway, Leon and Megan were together for about 3 years when she started getting really tired of his antics. Their arguments grew to be more violent, with her alleging that he was verbally abusive to her, that he hit her, that he would hold his hand over her mouth. So she filed charges in February of 2017. And this did not look good for Leon. If he had to testify against these charges and then be found guilty of a felony, he would never be able to practice medicine, which is funny. I think you should worry about, like, finishing one of your many residencies before you worry about these charges. I don't know. It's just too much going on. But anyway, he had to think of a way to silence Megan, and that was when he met a man named Taz. So Moataz Azay, I probably mispronounced that, was a decorated former U.S. Army soldier who was introduced to Leon through a mutual friend. And one day, Leon came to Taz asking for a huge favor. He wanted Taz to kidnap Megan and talk her into forgiving Leon and taking him back. And if that didn't work, he wanted Taz to talk her into leaving town, basically intimidating her to leave town. And then if that didn't work, he wanted Taz to kill her. He even offered Taz suggestions, like using a syringe filled with potassium to induce a heart attack. Like these are, he offered these suggestions that only a medical professional would probably know. Taz said that Leon paid him $9,000 for this, which Taz accepted, and then Taz totally ghosted Leon. He spent the money, he never came close to even contacting Megan, and he just considered it like a heroic act that he was saving her life by not following through with Leon's plan, but taking his money.
And it's pretty hard for him to go to the police and say, I gave him this money to kill her.
Yeah, and he didn't complete the job.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so...
Deserved to get scammed.
Yeah, so eventually Leon meets Valerie McDaniel, and it was through Valerie's neighbor, who was a divorce attorney with a son, who she thought Valerie really might like. So this neighbor played matchmaker and hooked them up. So initially, Valerie said that she was completely turned off by him and his attitude, and she said that she was drawn to him but disgusted at the same time. She said that he knew how beautiful he was and came off as very arrogant, but she was very lonely and vulnerable, so she just gave in to him. I don't think she wanted to be lonely anymore. Leon once said in a TV interview, quote, without sounding pompous, I've always understood women really well and they've always liked me, end quote.
Goodness sakes, very confident.
Very confident. And if you look him up, he's not a bad-looking dude in his older pictures. If you look up more recent pictures, he kind of looks like, I don't know, he looks like a farm animal, but I couldn't, like, put my finger on it. I'm like, maybe he looks like a llama, kind of? Like, I don't know, he's got this weird, like, weaselly face, and
such
I can't...
Such an interesting way to describe his look.
Look him up. His name is Leon Jacob.
Okay.
But he used to be a really good-looking guy, but I guess he became really arrogant knowing that he had good looks. He came from a very affluent family, went to the best private schools, spent a lot of his vacations playing tennis and skiing and doing all these, like, you know, fancy stuff. Fancy shit. I don't know.
I don't see the llama, but he got a nice full head of hair.
Yeah, he's got nice curly hair, I guess. But, I mean, back in the day, he was cute. I can't think of, like, who he looks like back in the day. But, obviously, this will be on our Instagram page, mama.mystery. But, like, after all of this stuff went down, I'm, like, having a really hard time finding the attraction. But, anyway, Jacob moved into Valerie's condo, and the two began living together in early 2017. But when Mac found out that Leon was staying with her, he threw a big fit because... It went against their custody agreement, but he also knew about Leon's criminal history with his past girlfriends. So it really bothered him that he was staying where his daughter was staying. And maybe there was a little bit in there, too, of, you know, just contentious breakups. But I do think that Mac had a reasonable, reason to be
concerned. To be upset, for sure.
Yeah. So as time went on, Valerie really began to fall for Leon's manipulative ways, and it didn't take long for Leon to officially move into her condo. And their relationship was one of those like whirlwind types of relationships. Seems like those are really the only types that he has. But they spent every moment together, opened up a joint bank account. They openly talked about getting married. Her coworker said that they seemed to be very much in love and that Valerie seemed really happy with Leon. But in true, like, Leon fashion, he kind of began isolating her from a lot of her friends and family, just kind of, you know, keeping her around all the time. Her friends almost instantly got a really bad feeling about Leon, and they just really didn't care for how cocky he was. It rubbed a lot of them the wrong way, which I can totally understand that. And they were right. After Taz ghosted Leon, Leon actually went to a bail bondsman in Houston named Michael Kabosh to try to find him. He confided in this bail bondsman that he had paid Taz a lot of money to take care of something and admitted that he needed this girl out of the picture. So Michael, familiar with all kinds of people working as a bail bondsman, actually called the chief of police in Houston because he just got this bad feeling about what this guy was after.
Smart
obviously
dude.
A hit job. Yeah.
To call, because I feel like so many cases we listen to, it's like somebody could have prevented everything from happening, and obviously this guy probably didn't, but at least he tried.
Yeah, yeah. So they began looking for Taz, and it took police about a week to find him because Taz originally told Leon that his name was Zach, probably to protect his real identity, but all along, Leon thought he was looking for a guy named Zach, and his name was actually Taz. So once they found him, they teamed up with him and an undercover detective to create a sting operation. They wanted to catch Leon in the act of soliciting a murder. So they have Taz call Leon to reconnect, and Taz tells Leon that if he's still interested in getting the job done, he has another guy that he recommends to do it. And which I think is, I mean, like, you're this really smart guy who has gone through medical school, and at no point do your, like, red flags go up to think this guy stole my money and ghosted me, and now he's calling me out of nowhere to recommend a different guy to get the job done. Like, this
I get
fishy.
Where you're coming from, but he's so in his own world. Mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Hot Shit. I need this chick out of my life. I want to move on. Everybody wants me. He probably just thought, I'll just tell him. Yeah,
oh, you got
another guy's
guy
fine.
That can do it for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, give me Kenton's number.
Yeah, it's like that. We talked about it. I don't remember what episode it was, but remember when there was like a website that was like hireahitman.com?
Yeah.
And people would actually fill out these forms and like.
Didn't it go straight to the police?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then these people were getting arrested for like soliciting
That's
to
crazy.
Get somebody to come murder.
You know so what it reminds stupid. Me of too? I don't interject much into this show, so here's my interjection. And if you don't think it's funny, then I'm sorry. What is the horrible bosses?
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker Jones.
Yeah.
And he goes, how much is it going to be, motherfucker? And he says, it's going to be 30 large because they're trying to get him to kill their bosses. And he goes, it's going to be 30 large, like 30 grand. And they go, 30 large, motherfucker, we don't have 30 large. And then he goes, all right, calm down. It's going to be 5 large. That's one of my favorite like scenes ever. I think it's hilarious.
It is. So funny.
Crazy that this actually happens. Like,
yeah.
Gosh, like, it's mind-blowing that it actually happens.
Yeah, because this is a very true story.
Mm-hmm.
So during the phone call between Leon and Taz, Leon agrees to meet with him and says, quote, we're taking care of both problems. And Taz says, what problems? And Leon says, quote, both of the individuals we are talking about. Valerie wants to talk to you about what she wants done with her ex-husband, end quote. So they agree to meet up the following day at an Olive Garden for lunch. And at this lunch, over unlimited breadsticks and salad, the entire conversation is being secretly recorded. And Leon tells this undercover cop, posing to be a hitman, that he doesn't want Megan to hurt, but he wants her to go. And Leon suggested that he run Megan off, but then if those options don't work, I don't give a fuck, then you gotta do what you gotta do, I need her gone. Those are his exact words.
Oh, my gosh.
Then the conversation turns to Valerie and what she would like to order off the menu, the hitman menu. She says, quote, let's say something were to happen to him. Like, what would it be? A car wreck or... And he said he could do a car wreck or a robbery gone wrong. And ultimately, they agree that the undercover cop will attempt to carjack him and shoot him in the head. So it'll be like a carjacking gone wrong.
This is just freaking sick to think that people have real conversations with somebody like this.
Yeah, that you
like
would go you, that far.
Oh my goodness. It's insanity.
So he confirms that that's what she wants to do. And she says, well, what other option do I have? He's going to take my daughter.
This is bonkers.
Yeah. So the next day was March 9th, 2017. And this undercover cop came to Leon and Valerie's home to inform them that the job was done. He even offered to show them pictures that Megan and Mac both posed for. Megan was tied up with duct tape around her mouth. Mac was laying on the ground with what appeared to be blood from a gunshot wound, but was actually pig's blood on his head, all staged to make it look legit. Megan and Mac were both in on this sting operation, obviously. Can you imagine that? finding out, hey, your ex
is going to have you killed.
In the process of,
and
like,
so we're going to, you get up like you're killed, get dressed in a get up and lay on the floor. And we're going to take pictures and then we're going to go show them to them. They're going to be happy. And then we're going to arrest them.
Yeah.
If I was the one that was wanting to be killed, it's traumatic, but at the same time, it'd be like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Go get them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
I'll do what I need to do to save my own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So later that night, that same night, it's about 2 or 3 in the morning when Valerie and Leon get a knock on their door, and it's Sergeant Frank Quinn, and he's there to deliver the news to Valerie that her husband was identified in a fatal carjacking. She acts all upset, shocked, puts her head in her hands, and she's surprised.
All acting.
Because at this point, they don't know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they never knew.
Right.
But she's acting all surprised that her husband is dead. And the entire thing is caught on body cam footage. So it's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
But that's kind of entertaining in a sick way.
Yeah. Leon is sitting behind her on this chair, like rubbing her back and trying to console her when he tells police, quote, "We've been here all day with their daughter. We've been watching movies. We haven't left the house all day," end quote.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm like, say less.
Oh, hey, I believe you.
Okay, we get it. You had nothing to do with this.
What the heck?
You're clearly innocent. Shut up. So then Sergeant Quinn says, "Well, right now we're going to read you your rights because you're both being arrested for solicitation of capital murder." Boom, mic drop.
That's crazy.
They are stunned and confused as they're being let out. And Valerie is concerned because her daughter is asleep in the other room. But they let her know that Mac is actually alive and well and right outside the door to take his daughter with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you freaking imagine that? Like,
that's nuts.
First of all, I'm wrapping my head around this. I'm like, how could you do that to your daughter? Like, plan to have her own dad killed. That is so low and terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not like, let alone the fact that having, you know, someone else kill another person is awful. But, like, you're killing your daughter's dad. That is so sad.
That's nuts.
So sad. So after their arraignment, Leon had to stay in jail because of his other pending charges with Megan. But Valerie was able to post bail and go home. And her colleague, Dr. Brittany King, visited her, tried to support her through all of it, like knowing that she was devastated because obviously her license got suspended. And so the idea that she wouldn't be seeing her daughter for a really long time, paired with the fact that she might lose her vet license, like, it's a lot. I mean, I'm sure that was.
Well, you're also probably going to go to prison.
Well, and that too. Yeah, like, everything's falling
apart. Who gives
apart.
A shit about the vet license?
Right, I'm just saying, though,
I get what
like,
you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just your whole world is falling apart.
Yeah.
So while she was at home, she turned to her iPad to record one of those audio-video diaries. Like one of her entries. And in this entry, she spent about 2 hours detailing her whole life and what led up to this point. And she said she didn't just wake up one day and want to kill her husband, that it was a slow progression and everything she loved was just slipping through her fingers. And it, like I said, it was just falling apart. So 2 days after that final recording, Valerie jumped from the balcony of her 7th-story apartment.
Gosh, what a whirlwind of emotions this one was.
Mm-hmm. Her death was a huge shock to her friends and family.
Oh, my gosh.
Valerie was always known as a very compassionate, sweet, generous person, a great mother. This behavior was so out of character for Valerie, and then just her loss was a huge devastation to them. But while those who knew her were mourning, Leon was calculating. He saw an opportunity and blamed the entire conspiracy to commit murder on Valerie. His lawyer argued that she was the mastermind calling all the shots. Leon hired one of the top defense attorneys in Texas, George Parnum, who said, quote, "I am sorry for her demise, but I believe that Valerie is and was responsible for this entire scenario."
Even though we have you both on video talking.
Yes. Yes. And we have... Leon
I hate whenever
reaching out to Taz in the first place, giving him $9,000, right. And then going to this bail bondman trying to find him. Like,
I hate whenever these scumbags blame the dead people.
Yes.
Like here a while back, that one guy blaming his brother who was dead.
Yes, Kyler Yust, who was just found guilty Yes, we discussed it in episode 23. Same thing. His brother killed himself in jail. So then at his own trial, he blamed these girls' murders on his freaking brother. Like, what a disgrace. Mm-hmm. You have no conscience.
Yeah.
Clearly, you've proven not to have a conscience this entire time. But, like, to go as far as to blame a dead person, a dead family member, a dead ex on your actions, that's fucking sick. Excuse my language. That's gross.
It's pretty hardcore.
So, anyway, the thing is, what motive would Valerie have to want Megan dead also? It was very clear that Leon was the one with the motive. He needed Megan to be gone because she risked his chance at practicing medicine. And he needed Mac to be gone because he was the one thing standing in the way of his and Valerie's relationship. And if Valerie had to choose between her daughter and being with Leon, she was clearly going to choose her daughter. And also, I'm not trying to say that she didn't play a part in her own actions. Obviously, she sought out to have something happen to him. She had these conversations. She spoke those words. But would Valerie ever have gone as far as she did to meet with a hitman if Leon didn't introduce her to the idea or the hitman himself? My opinion is probably not. And I'm not saying that, please don't misconstrue it, to say that, like, she's... her actions are excused. I just think that, you know, Leon has proven time and time again to be a manipulative narcissist, and maybe he kind of pushed a vulnerable Valerie in that direction because she never displayed this type of behavior before she met Leon. So it's just, it's disappointing. She did what she did and she deserved to spend time for it, but it's unfortunate that she took her own life before.
It's unfortunate she took her own life. My opinion, it was just clearly both of them all along. Mm-hmm. And so one and the other or even try to find a reason, I think is useless.
It's a moot point.
Amen.
It's like a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter.
Amen. Moo. Oh my gosh. On that note.
During the trial, DA Samantha Necht was drilling Leon on the stand, tearing apart his defense that he never said he wanted anyone hurt, killed, harmed, etc., that it was Valerie's plan all along. She said, quote, "Did you not want anybody hurt when you said inject her with potassium chloride, stop her heart, untraceable," end quote. He said, quote, "I said that was something you could do. I didn't say for him to do that," end quote. I'm arguing with my son.
You know
right
the Ringer?
Now, like,
have you ever seen the Ringer?
Yes.
"Could you pass me the ketchup? Can you? I asked you if they could pass the ketchup, not if you would." Yeah. You asked me, like, it's like, what?
Exactly.
You freaking moron? That's your argument?
Yeah, I didn't say for him to do that. I said he could. It was just an option. Mm-hmm. So she said, quote, "Did you recall telling the undercover officer, if those options don't work, I don't give a fuck, then you got to do what you got to do because my survival is more important," end quote. And he said, "Yes." So the jury only took an hour and 15 minutes to deliberate, which is like record timing, and return a verdict of guilty of solicitation of capital murder. He was actually found guilty on both counts, conspiring to have Megan and Mac killed. And he was sentenced to life in prison and will be eligible for parole in 2047 at 69 years old.
Big yikes.
So after the guilty verdict, Megan took the stand to deliver her victim impact statement, speaking to Leon directly. And I just thought it was too good not to add. She said, quote, "You manipulated me to leave my family and the life I had. I believe everything happens for a reason. While you sit in jail, I hope you think of me, a girl you called poor and uneducated. It's because of me you will be in prison for life. You will never see your children grow up. You will not be a part of their lives, and they will be better for it," end quote.
That's a, like...
yeah, girl.
As
yes, girl.
Badass as you can get right there.
Claps. Snaps. I don't know what snaps actually means. I think it's like claps.
That's as badass as you can get right there.
And meanwhile, Leon has given numerous TV interviews and at one point has had the audacity to say, quote, "I want Bradley Cooper to play me in the TV movie." The arrogance is strong with this one.
No joke.
And with that, we end today's episode. Do with it what you will.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Like, share, comment, do all the things.
Give us a review. You know what? If you haven't given us a positive review, we would really appreciate it. Mama Mystery out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.